Hi, welcome back to After the Rush Show. This is episode one, part deux, because this is a very important point. When does a people like the exceptional American people do something more than vote? There were people right before the election calling up Rush saying, so when do I push the panic button? When do we jump off the cliff or whatever we're supposed to do? On that note, what, Rush, are we supposed to do? And Rush would say, it's not time to panic. Now, Rush has a exorbitant amount of faith, apparently, because I was one of those people going, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And then after the election, exuberance, it was so wonderful. Everything was great. Everybody on the other side freaked out, but it was still great because we knew we were renewed. And like I said, a lot of people were empowered knowing that their vote actually carried through and meant something, because really that's the only power that we have. And then that's kind of the downside, where we're looking at this new process that Trump is trying to, it's not a new process, he's trying to work. I mean, that's the new process, is actually working, trying to make progress. And you see the pushback has accelerated to a new level. You've got people who have one job to do and they're not doing it. They're flat out doing something that's not their job and actually impeding the progress of, you know, just the travel ban. And I think this is what set some people off as far as the second round of panic. Because they said, well, what do we do when the process that we count on, the judiciary system, is supposed to do this one thing? They're supposed to uphold the law, and they're not doing that. They're making up the law. They're reading into something that's not there. How can we compete with that? If they are going there, how do we compete with that? We are a republic. We can't just make shit up. Or we're going to go down some road we don't want to go. And then we can't get back, because if they get power there too, then we're totally lost. And, you know, Republicans get this bad reputation of always following the rules. Well, that's why. But taking the gloves off is another thing. Playing hardball where you can is another thing. And that's where Trump is going. And Trump is trying very, very hard to win, where you can't even see. That fight is going on all the time. And that's why you got to pray for him. And you got to pray for those people who are backing him and supporting him. And people, by the way, who bail out of this game, don't blame them. They need a freaking medal. They get a trophy for hanging in there as long as they have. I don't know, you know, what kind of controversy is laid upon every person that's going to come out of the Trump office, and all the speculation of why they're leaving. It doesn't matter. The people who have supported him so far are why he's there. He needed every ounce of that energy, and still needs energy, and he needs more energy to help him. But that being said, panic still ensues with many politicos these days, because you think you know what's going on, and then the next day it seems like all hell is broken loose. People are saying, what do we do? Their biggest thing is that they have paid protesters going out. I mean, and I don't know if anybody would normally go out and protest tax returns, because I just That's a different universe altogether. That just really blows my mind. But there are people out there that are going to protest the tax returns not being released of Donald J. Trump, a man who was not planning on being audited, who was not planning on having to have this crap happen to him, and then really planning on winning. It was all a big question. It was all a big risk. And there was a lot of things that did not get smoothed out for the political purposes of running for president, which career politicians have going on since birth. So for him to not release his tax returns, nobody gives a damn. And if they came out and we had to go through all this crap and some more investigations because someone made up some innuendo, I mean, just some made up something, there's going to be an investigation, all time, all money being lost. And at the end, are they going to say, oh, I was wrong? There really wasn't anything here? No, it's just that. It's just a big mess of distraction and bad optics and making him look not successful. But these paid protesters and people who have no job and they go out and they protest and they're these mobs, that's what physically looks like power, right? It looks like they're making an impact. The people themselves are making an impact. So people like me are like sitting here going and calling Rush saying, so are we supposed to, we can't do that. We can't like take a week off of our jobs and go to Washington and protest this judge who's put a halt to the travel ban. We can't do that. We have jobs. And I remember saying this to my husband. I'm like, these people, I mean, like, how can we compete against that? But the thing is, we can't do it that way. You can protest. Of course, you can protest. But does that actually change anything for middle class white people? No, because for us, I don't think the world has any empathy. So for that kind of, and I'm not saying we're all conservatives are white middle class people, but that's how they see us. And so therefore, there's no empathy for Republicans to get tax reform or to get a travel ban or to get anything we want done in that respect. You're not going to get an emotional response from people who can go out and protest in a large mass scale on a regular basis, which is what seems to be a very good political or valuable political tactic of the left. They have that resource down pat, apparently, and we do not. So that realization, I feel, is pretty new. And so what's going to happen when you clearly see a nation that is looks like it's 50-50? It looks like we've got a liberal side and we've got a conservative side. And it looks like people are getting really violent on the left side. And there's only so long that the people who are very strong on the right are going to tolerate that, especially if something more than a shop gets burned or a car gets burned or is vandalized. When it goes beyond vandalism, what are the strong people on the right going to do? Are they going to turn violent? Is this going to turn into a civil war? It can. I mean, again, I'm an overanalyst. Conspiracy theorist is how I roll. So if you want to give me that, I will own it. I will say that over and over again. What I would say is that what a civil war is a reset. And I'm not calling for it. A national disaster is a reset. I'm not calling for that either. But think about what happens after something like that happens. The Civil War was horrific. In the words of Sam Houston, the dogs of hell were unleashed when that war became real. Because brother and brother were going to start fighting each other, and basically, they don't have the communication skills and resources that we have today. And you think that those communication resources are going to prevent us from having a civil war? Not likely. What's going to prevent us from having a civil war is the communication about what we really think about things. Brother and neighbor, really face to face, getting together and knowing each other. And this campaign for neighbors to be more neighborly, and how law enforcement has evidence that says people who know their neighbors are less likely to be victims of crime. When you know who your neighbors are, when you know what's going on in your neighborhood, bad things don't necessarily happen as often as people who live in their own little world and get their news from the entertainment world and sit in their apartment and don't know what's going on outside, and they walk outside and they get jacked. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just saying that when we talk to each other and we really realize that we're actually on the same page about a lot of things that aren't popular. We don't talk about religion in the news. Well, what if we're both, believe the same thing? We just don't know that because we're not paying attention to anything but this entertainment news. Maybe we should pay att more attention to each other. And when you are on your neighbor's doorstep saying, "I'm going to shoot you if you don't come out here and talk to me about this," trust me, communication starts to happen. And when I say that the Civil War is something that might be positive, I'm just saying that if you look at America, and as fresh as it was, as it was an experiment, it was still considered an experiment at the time the Civil War happened. And as vulnerable as that experiment was, we had a civil war. Which seems like the worst thing that could ever happen, right? But we healed. And we healed bigly. We really did. And because you know why? Because we came together and realized that we weren't really that far off. A lot of us didn't believe in slavery. You had a lot of people who were snowed by the media to think that it was about states' rights. By popularity. And by peer pressure and by fear tactics and pseudos, a great deal of people were frightened into thinking that their states' rights were going to be taken away and that it wasn't about slavery, only to find out it was about slavery. The whole reason that Abraham Lincoln went to war is because that part of our lives was not okay. And most of us agreed with it. We just didn't know what to believe at that. It was very much like today. People's beliefs are turned against them into doing and taking sides that they don't necessarily want to take. One of the best things that my dad ever told me was that, when I would ask him, and my children ask me, "Who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy? What side am I supposed to be on, Dad? What side am I supposed to be on, Mom? Is that the good guy? Do I like him?" And I'm not gonna be like every other parent who says, oh, it's up to you to decide. No, I'm going to say, well, this is the deal. And just like Donald Trump has a great talent in doing, he sees the weaknesses and strength in people. And there are good people that are through and through good, and there are people who are bad and they're through and through bad, and you can kind of just put them off to the edges at this point and know who they are. You can see a fake person coming from a mile away, Rachel Maddow, and you know when they're doing their little prayerful, little teary-eyed, breathy situation they're explaining to you is so important. Know that it's not. Just immediately go, oh my God, what are they trying to sell me? Because they're trying to sell you something. But what I would say is that when you have a reset, a real reset, what it can do is take everybody who thinks they know everything and who is a power and has power, it takes them out. And then we rebuild. And we make America great. Now, that is the situation we are in. That is the vision I have for after reset in this country, in the condition that it is, with the president and the leaders that we have. But if you reset this country with other leaders, just put in place Hillary Clinton or President Obama, and then reset the country like that, what a hellhole this would be. And they would be in power. Their powers would stay because they would be orchestrating it, they would be manufacturing it, and then telling you that they were going to heal it and put it back together. The truth is that the leaders today, President Trump, wants nothing but good for you. He will never instigate something horrible happening to this country for the sake of his own power or for anybody in Congress, for anybody to maintain the lifestyle of being served. The New Deal is that the leaders of this country will serve the people. And so you don't have to panic. You don't have to freak out. Rush is completely correct. Now that we have the validation that we voted, we did our part, and now the leaders have taken the reins. They've elevated themselves to a level of needing to do progress that we could only hope to understand. That kind of stamina, that kind of understanding of what needs to happen in this country is a little bit beyond us. And I know because if we don't even know what's going on half the time, and we're good people and we're trying to understand what's going on, but we can't do it all. We have to work. We have to be the cogs of this nation, and those guys have to figure out the stuff in the background. And we got to give credit to the people who are in the background of them, who we don't even hear about in the press. Pray for them. Give them the honor that they deserve by respecting the laws that are in place and no more leakages for the sake of having a story. Everybody has a chance now to get on the same page and do their jobs and move forward. And if that happens, which I feel like it's starting to do, you've got world leaders getting on board, having the conversation, having a real conversation with President Trump. They're doing. Russia is not impeding our stomping on Assad. Did you notice? China is not impeding us stomping on North Korea. Did you notice? Mexico is not stomping on us building a wall, which is extremely important to our future. We'll have a whole new episode on walls and why they're important and that they're not a figment of our imagination as far as being things that keep us in and keep us isolated. Walls are very good things, and we'll have a whole episode on that. In the meantime, bless you. Have a good night.